Good morning. Thank you for coming. Today's daf is actually remarkably very appropriate for the 3 weeks because the first half of the daf discusses really the themes of this week's Haftorah, where the Navi Yeshayahu rebukes the Jewish people and predicts the destruction of Yerushalayim for, amongst other crimes, the crime of the perversion of justice. And the fact that when you went to a Beit Din, Yerushalayim, you would have expected a Kiryat Ne'emanah, a city of loyalty. You'd have honesty, you'd have justice. And instead there was corruption. The judges were taking money from litigants. They were giving rulings based on who paid them more, who paid them first, who complimented them more. There was no justice. And that was one of the reasons why we lost Yerushalayim. And the Gemara is going to discuss that today. Okay, but going back to what we were talking about yesterday, we had learned yesterday that a lesson of Rav is that in the future, in the end times, Torah will be forgotten from the Jewish people. So let's start at the third of the wide lines on Kuf Lamed Ches Amid Beis again. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa, Kishenichnasu Rabbosenu L'Kerem B'Yavneh, when our sages entered into the learning, the yeshiva in Yavneh, Amra Asida Torah Shetishtakach Mi Yisrael, they said like Rav, that at the end times, Torah will be forgotten from the Jewish people. Shenam, as it says, Hinei Yamim Ba'imnu Mashem Elokim, behold, days are coming, said God the Lord, Vishlachti Rav Ba'aretz, I'm going to send the famine in the earth. Lo Rav Lalechem, not a famine for bread, Lo Tzama Lamayim, not a thirst for water, Kiyim Lishmoas Dibri Hashem, but rather a famine and a thirst to hear the words of Hashem. And that's, there's going to be a lack of hearing the words of Hashem. So that's this prediction. At the end time, we won't be able to know the word of Hashem. We'll be seeking it and we won't find it. See if we have another verse. V'no'u miyam ad yam. They will sway from ocean to ocean. U'mitzafon ad mizrach. And from the north to the east, yishotatu, they'll go around. L'vakish is dvar Hashem. To find Hashem's word. Lo yimso, they won't find it. Var Hashem, what does it mean they'll be looking for Hashem's word and they can't find it? Zu halacha, they'll be looking for the halacha, they won't be able to find it. Var Hashem, Hashem's word, Zeakates, another interpretation, they'll be searching for the end time. When will all these tzaros end? They won't find it. Var Hashem, Hashem's word, they'll be looking for, they won't find, as a reference to Nevuah, to prophecy. What's the example of this? Ma yishotatu levakish tvar Hashem, that they'll be seeking the word of Hashem, they won't find it. Amru, they said, Asida Yisha Shetito Kikar Shel Truma, a woman's going to take in the future a loaf of Truma, V'tachzum B'vati Knesius B'vati Midrashos, and she will return and go in a cycle from Shul to Beis Medrash, Leida to ask, in Tmeahi, is the loaf Tameh, in Tahorahi, is it Tahor? Vein Mevin, no one's going to know, in Tahorahi, if it's Tahor, in Tmeahi, or if it's Tameh. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. The head Yaksidbei, that if you have a loaf and it's in contact with a dead rodent, even in the same earthenware utensil as a dead rodent, it says explicitly, Mikol Ochel Asher Ye'ochel becomes Tameh. They're not going to know Pasuk, they're not going to know Pasha Shmini, they're not going to know Pasha Tazria. Ella rather Leidam Rishonahi Vim Shniahi. She's going to be asking, is what level of Tumah is it? Is it Rishon Litzumah? Is it Sheni Litzumah? They may even, no one's going to know. Ask Gemara, okay, that's not a Pasuk maybe. That's a Mishnah. Anan Masnisini. People are not going to know Mishnayos at the end times. Kedithan, we have the Mishnah. Asheret Shnimtza B'tanur. If you find a dead rodent in an earthenware oven. Hapasha B'socho, the bread inside that oven. Shnia is a secondary level of Tumah. Sheni L'Tumah. Sha'atanur Tchila. Because the earthenware oven itself becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. And the bread on it becomes a Sheni L'Tumah. As the Gemara Mistapkaluhu, they're going to have the following question. This Rav Ada Bar Ahava said to Rava, "Nivzaye ha'tanura keman demali tuma." Why don't we look at this oven? It's a strange law. The law that a dead rodent creates tuma is not through contact. Normally, tuma is through contact. If I touch a dead body, here it's in the airspace of the earthenware vessel. So why don't you view that? Interpret that, right? Explain it, define that. that the tanura kimadamali tuma. That means that the airspace is all dead lizards. The whole airspace is tuma. The Debbie Pas Mishona. So then you should view it that the bread was touched by a lizard. And the lizard is an avatuma. The bread would then be a rishon litzuma, not a sheni litzuma. Amar lei, Rava said back to Rabbi Rahava, lo aminan lizai haitanura kamadim al litzuma. That's not what's going on here. It's not that when you have a dead rodent in the airspace of an earthenware vessel, that Allah imagines that all of that airspace is lots of dead rodents. The Tanakh is going to the Braisa. Yochli you call a kelim itamim ba'avir klicheres. Maybe we would think that an earthenware vessel, inside an earthenware vessel, becomes impure through the dead rodents. Talmud Lomah, the pasuk says, "Kol asher besocho yitma, all that is inside of it will become tameh. Mikol ochel asher yachel, from whatever food is eaten, ochlin mitamen ba'avir klicheres, the food can become tameh because in the airspace of the earthenware vessel there's a dead rodent." The klicheres, but that there's another earthenware vessel, I'm sorry, but ain't kalim, but a vessel being in that airspace does not become tameh. Ain't kalim in time b'avir klicheres. If the vessel doesn't become tameh, that means that the airspace is not all rodents. If the airspace would be rodents, then the vessel also should become tameh. So you see, it's a special halacha. So in other words, in the future, they're going to be asking the sort of explain to us the halachos. And that people won't be able to do. People won't be able to explain it. It won't make sense to them. Why is it that the vessel's airspace became impure, but that is not considered that the whole airspace is a rishon l'tumah? The airspace becomes impure to make the oven a rishon l'tumah, and then the oven makes the bread touching it a sheni l'tumah. That's going to be hard for people to grasp. So there's an obvious question here. I mean, we're talking about our days, right? The days before Mashiach, when we're getting closer and closer. So the big question is going to be Hilchos Tumah, Sheni Letumah versus Rishon Letumah. So the Chafetz Chaim, he started the learning of Kachim. When he saw that, Baruch Hashem, Jews were able to settle a little bit in Eretz Yisrael, not that it was so easy, it was hard, a lot of people left. People were starving, it was very difficult in Eretz Yisrael, but the Jews were beginning to settle Eretz Yisrael. He was very excited. So that's the beginning of the times of Mashiach. So we have to start preparing and learn Kachin. So he made a kolel, small group of guys, maybe 15, 10 guys, in Radin and his yeshiva, to learn Zvachim, to learn Menachos. And he wrote the Sefer, Likutei Halachos, about the laws of Kachin. So in his introduction, he explains, we know there's a concept called Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah is that if there's a dead body that no one's taking care of, then you need to drop whatever you're doing. You're on your way to bring a Karban Pesach, you're on your way to Duper Smila, you're on your way to learn, whatever it is, you drop to go take care of the Meis Mitzvah. So what's Pshat? Pshat is that when you have a dead body that nobody's taking care of, so if there's no one going to take care of this person, then you need to take care of that person. He said it's not only true about a dead person, true about certain parts of Torah. There's certain parts of Torah, they become meis mitzvah. No one learns them. No one learns kachin. Understandably, Shabbos is relevant every week. But, you know, how to make the shteil lechem or how to make the lechem apanim, it's not relevant for us. So, Maseches Menachos becomes a meis mitzvah. If it's a meis mitzvah, we have a special obligation to go out and to learn that Maseches. To go out and to learn those learnings. So before the coming of Mashiach, people are going to look to Taros. Because nobody learns Taros. They say, well, we want to learn Taros. We don't know it. And that's going to be this obligation. But unfortunately, people are not going to know the details of Taros. And that's the terrible thing, that they're looking for Dvar Hashem about those areas that are understandably neglected. And they don't know it, and they're seeking out to know it. But now we have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Time to look at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Chas v'shalom! I don't agree. Chas v'shalom. Shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. Heaven forbid that the Jewish people will forget Torah. The Jewish people will learn all of Torah, even those parts that are Meis Mitzvah parts. Taros and Kachim too. Shenem, as the pasuk says, Ki lo tishachach mipizaro, for it will not be forgotten from the mouth of his descendants. So what's the meaning of the verse? He shook to the wander about the Bakish Far Hashem to seek the word of Hashem, and they won't find it. Shaloyimtsu halacha brura. They won't be able to have consensus. Yeah, you know, one rabbi will feel that this is permitted, and he'll have proof, and another rabbi will say, I don't agree. They won't find halacha brura. They won't find a situation of clarity on the halacha, or mishnah brura, or even clarity about what the text says. There won't be. This one says, no, the gears is a little bit different. There won't be any clarity. V'makom echad, in all these places, they won't be able to find any clarity. They'll be searching here, they'll be searching there. Nobody has it all set. No one has it all arranged. That's why Rav Kook, based on this Gemara, he said that he had an idea. Thank God today it's already been fulfilled by others, that they should make Gemaros. And in the end of the Gemara, they should have the Rambam, and then the Shulchan Aruch, and then all the discussion of the Poskim. So it'll be Halacha Brura. It'll all be everything collected in one place. So they have a kolel in Merkez Harav called Kolel Halacha Brura, based on this Gemara. And they print these special Gemaros. Gemaros, where you have the Gemara, then you turn to the bottom, back. You have the Rambam, then you turn to the next page, you have the Shulchan Aruch, and you have the Mishnah Brura, and you have all the discussions afterwards. So it'll all be Halacha Brura b'makom echad. You should have the clarity of the Halacha all in one place.
Kolotaros.
They're in Bnei Brak. They're fulfilling this to try to learn Taros. They told me. Yeah. They told me in Kolotaros that one of their projects is they want to make a Shmirat Shabbos Keil Chasa of Hilchos Taros. Of all the laws of Tumah V'Tara explained, clarity. Ezra Hashem. Tanu L'Din Abraisa. All right, now I'm talking about the lack of integrity, unfortunately, of Torah scholars. We learned that Abraisa Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha Omer, Im Raisa Dor Shetzaros Rabos Bos Allah. If you see a generation with many, many misfortunes, many problems, you know who's the fault? It's the fault of the Torah scholars. Hey, you bedok b'dayana Yisrael. Go investigate the judges, the Jewish judges, the Jewish rabbis of the Beis Din. Shekol peranu shebol olam, every tragedy that comes to the world. Lo ba'al b'shvil dayana Yisrael. It comes because Jewish judges are accepting bribes and not being honest. Shenam, as it says, Shimu nazos rashi beis Yaakov. Listen now to this, the leaders of the household of Jacob, Tzinei Beis Yisrael, and the officers of the household of Israel, Hamita'avim Mishpat, who make the concept of Beis Din and justice abominable. No one wants to go to Beis Din because they know that there's corruption in Beis Din. Bezkola Yeshara Yakshu, and that which is straight they make crooked. Bonei Tzion Bedamim, how do they build their fancy palaces, their fancy apartments in Jerusalem? They took bribes. They took money. That's how they built it. Yerushalayim ba'avla, and Jerusalem in corruption. Roshea b'shochad yishbotu. Their leaders are judging through bribes. B'chohanea, and their rabbis, b'mechir yoru, for the right price. They give the quote-unquote, sarcastically, right ruling. But if you have the prophets of Jerusalem, prophets, you want to hear prophecy, prophets falling down, talking to God. Bekesef, you give him money, Yiksomu, they'll start doing the magic. You give him money, and for the money, he'll give you what, he'll tell you whatever you want to hear. You want to hear it, he'll tell it to you. God said it. Baal Hashem Yishanu. And they'll say, nothing's going to happen to us, because we have bitachon. We have trust in God. We trust God, so therefore we can do all the terrible things in the world. We can cause Chil Hashem, desecration of God's name, corruption, evil, bribery. But we trust God, we'll be okay. The Shoinheim, these are wicked people. And yet they say that they're trusting God and therefore they'll be all right. Therefore, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Aleihem Shalosh Poranios. God will bring against them three misfortunes. Keneged shalosh averos shebiyadam, for these three sins, the three sins of Jerusalem. Prophets for hire, judges for hire, rabbis for hire. Shenem, as it says, Lachain, therefore, Biglalchem, because of you, Sion, Zion, Sada Techaresh, will be plowed over into an empty field. Yerushalayim, Iyin Tihiyah, Jerusalem, will become a wasteland. Baharabayis, Labamos Yar, the Temple Mount, to a forest of destruction, with foxes and wild animals walking on the Temple Mount. And therefore, Jerusalem is destroyed because of the corruption of judges. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinas Al Yisrael. God is not going to put His divine presence on the Jewish people. Ad Sheyukalu Shoftim V'Shotrim Ra'im Yisrael. Until the wicked judges and court officers and Gabayim and Shamashim are wiped out of the Jewish people. Shenem, as it says, V'ashiva Yadi Alayich. I'm going to put my hand over you. The etzer of kabor sigayich, I'm going to purify the dross out of the silver. I'm going to put you in the furnace and get rid of the impurities. Vasira kol b'dilayich, I'm going to remove the lead. Vashiva shoftayich kvarishona, I will restore the judges the way they were originally, like Shimshon. Vosaguru mipneyish, judges who weren't afraid of anyone, just were loyal to the truth. Yoatzayach kibatchila, and your counselors the way they were originally. Amar Ula, Ula said, and Yerushalayim Niftah, Jerusalem will only be redeemed, Ela B'Tzedakah, only with justice. Now we know that charity is also called Tzedakah. Because in Judaism we believe in a concept that based on justice, you have to help the poor. That the money that a person has doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Hashem, and Hashem is saying, I'm trusting you that you're going to give it to others, to those who are in need, if you have more than what you need for yourself. So it's tzedakah, it's justice to give to the poor. Shenem, as it says, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh. Zion will be redeemed through justice. V'shaveh b'tzedakah, it'll be returned, it'll be restored through tzedakah, through the charity which is justice, by right, to give to those who are in need. Amar Rav Papa said, another lesson of Musar, Ibitili Yehiri, if all the arrogant people would stop, if the arrogant Jews would stop being arrogant, Batli Amgushi, and the various Jews for Jesus, and heretics that are trying to convince Jews to leave religion, they would stop. Hashem sends them as a punishment to us, because we're too arrogant, we're not humble enough. Ibatli Zayani, if the judges would stop their corruption, Batli Gzirfti, then the wicked policemen would stop with their wicked misapplication of Gentile law. Ibatli Yihiri Batli Amgushi, if the Jews would stop with their arrogance, then they'd stop having the problems of Jewish traitors, Jewish blasphemers who try to lead our children astray. The Tziv, as the Pasuk says, V'etzer of kabor sigayich, I'll purify your impurities. I will purify you from your arrogance. You'll be humbled. And then you'll be in a state of cleanliness. Ibati dayani bati gzirpati. If the wicked judges would stop, then we'd stop having problems from government. The Tziv, as it says, Heshir Hashem mishpatecha. Hashem has removed your judges. Pano ivecha, your enemies have turned away. Now we're going to have lessons from this Rabbi Malai. Amar Rabbi Malai, Mishim Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. My dechtiv, what's the meaning of the verse? Shabar Hashem Matei Rishaim. Hashem will break the staff of the wicked. Shevet Moshlim, the scepter of the rulers. Shabar Hashem Matei Rishaim. Hashem is going to break the staff of the wicked. Elu Adayanim, these are the wicked judges. Shenasu Makol Chazoneim. They allowed themselves to be the stick for their attendants. In other words, their attendants would say, oh, you want a blessing from the big tzaddik? You know, put a donation into my Swiss bank account. Then I'll let you in. And when you went to the big tzaddik, he said, yeah, whatever the attendant says, I trust him. You know, that type of corruption. Shevet Moshlim, the scepter of the rulers. Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shebimishpachos Sadayanim. You'd have wicked judges, and people would say, but they're wicked, they're corrupt, They take bribes. They're not saying the truth. I look at the Rambam. It's not this way. And they say, yeah, but my father, he's a big, big sage. You go to the father. You say, no, my son's okay. My son's okay. Anytime he doesn't know something, he calls me. You rely on my son with closed eyes. That type of corruption. Marzutra said, it's a reference to Torah scholars who say any question that comes from the community, the Hilchos Tzibur, don't worry. You could have a posek who knows nothing. But if he has a problem, he has my number. He calls me. So he's okay. He knows nothing. But he's got my number. So because they're putting into positions of authority people who are unqualified. And they say, but don't worry, I'll cover for him. You have corruption. You have the wrong application of law. You have the wrong rulings. And because of these types of corruptions, we lost Yerushalayim. Amar Belazav ben Malai, Nishum Rish Lakish, Ma'itich Siv, what's the meaning of the verse? Again, in the Navi Yeshayo, talking about why we lost Jerusalem. Ki chapeichem negalu badam, for your hands were disgusting with blood. That's oseichem ba'avon, and your fingers with crime. Sif soseichem dibru sheker, your lips said falsehood. L'shonechem avla, your tongue, corruption, tager will express. Ki chapeichem negalu badam, for your hands, your palms were filthy with blood. Elu adayanim, these are the judges who take bribes. Etzbo'oseichem ba'avon, your fingers with crimes. Elu sofer adayanim. These are the stenographers. They also take, they're also corrupt. They write false rulings and they write it down. Sifso'oseichem dibru sheker, your lips are speaking false to Jerusalem. Elu orchei adayanim, these are the lawyers. The lawyers come up and they slide it in. They say, well, you know, it's not really what it was. If you present it like this, if you frame it like this, with this source and that source, then you win. L'shonacham avla tagah, your tongue will express corruption. Elubalidinin, these are people who make claims. They know there's no basis to the claim. But by making the claim, they have leverage to then squeeze something out of somebody else. It's all corruption. Yerushalayim was filled with corruption. Instead of justice, instead of the truth, it was interests, it was using the law, it was corrupting the purpose of the law, the message of the law. And that's where he lost Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Milai, Mishum Rav Yitzchak Migdala. The Milai said in the name of Yitzchak Migdala. Yom Shepiresh Yosef Me'echav. On the day that Yosef left his brothers because he was sold, he was in a state of sadness. Lotam Tam Yayin. The Chsib, the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayechi says about Yosef, L'rosh Yosef, L'kadkod Nazir Echav. Kadkod, he was the commander, Nazir Echav. He was the Nazir of his brothers. So a Nazir can't drink wine. That means Yosef was someone who wouldn't drink wine. The brothers also didn't drink wine. The Tziv, as it says, when they brought Binyamin down, and they were together with Yosef, then they drank and they got drunk with him. In other words, Michal implying that until now they wouldn't drink any wine. The other opinion would tell you, no, they didn't get drunk, but they were drinking wine. Amar Reb Malai, Reb Malai said another lesson. The Schaber Achav Asamach Belibo. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to go down to save the Jews from Egypt because he says, who am I to be appointed? I have an older brother, Aaron. He's more worthy. Hashem assures Moshe. He says, don't worry, Moshe. He'll see you. He'll be happy in his heart when he sees you. Aaron will be happy for you. He won't be jealous. He'll be happy for you. In the merit that when he saw he was happy in his heart, Zachal Choshen HaMishpat Alibo, he merited for the Choshen Mishpat to be on his chest. The people of Biskar must have been a town in Persia. They sent a message to Levi. Several halachic questions. Kila, putting up this canopy over the bed. And the bed has four posts, and you want to put a canopy over it to sleep under the canopy. Mao, can you do that on Shabbos? Then another question. Kshuta, growing hops. Putting hops bekarma in a vineyard. Mahu, is that considered kilayim? Is that considered mixing vegetables with grapes? And a third question, meis b'yom tov. We have a person who died on Yom Tov. Mahu, how do we take care of him? We leave him out? Decomposed? Do we bury him? Adazil, by the time the messenger got to Levi, nach nafshu to Levi, Levi died. Amar Shmuel, Reb Menashia, Shmuel told Reb Menashia, Ichakimus, if you're wise and know the answer to these questions, Shalach Lu, you send an answer. Shalach Lu, he sent them Chumrus, Kila, putting up a canopy over a bed on Shabbos, Chazarno, Koltida, Kila, I looked at every way, Lo Matzana, Lutzad Heter, we don't have any way to permit such a thing. Why says, what do you mean there's no way to permit such a thing? Lishlam Chukut, Rami Bar Yecheskel, we had yesterday, Rami Bar Yecheskel said, you can put the canopy out, have it extended a tefach before Shabbos, have a string, and then you can pull it out the rest of the way on Shabbos. The answer is, when you're dealing with people who are not learned, they don't learn, they don't appreciate learning, they don't respect learning, if you tell them nuance, they don't get it. They just think the whole thing's allowed. So you have to tell them, the whole thing's not allowed. The Pishayna B'nai Torah, the people of Biskar were not B'nai Torah. And they couldn't get a nuanced ruling. They have to be told, no canopies, no tents. Kshuta b'karma. Want to know about growing hops in a vineyard? Your buva, it's klayim. Your wine will be prohibited. Ask the Gemara, v'lishlu chutur b'tarfin. They're not living in Israel, they're in Persia. There are opinions that think that this is allowed. And if there's an opinion that thinks it's allowed in Israel, then it's certainly allowed outside of Israel. The time we looked at a brisa, kishos, growing hops in a vineyard. It's not considered kilayim. Chachamom kilayim bekam. It is considered kilayim. Bekam, we have a ruling called amekel baretz. If somebody has a lenient view about an agricultural law in Israel, halacha kamosa b'chutz laretz. In regards to that agricultural law outside of Israel, you rule that way because outside of Israel, it's only drabanan. Again, the answer is l'fishenu b'nei Torah. They're not involved in Torah. They're not learning Torah. If they're not learning Torah, they can't hear nuance. If you tell them that hops can be in a vineyard, they'll be planting wheat in a vineyard. It'll be the biblical sin before you know it. Machriz Rav. Rav used to announce, talking about hops in a vineyard, Haiman de boy lemizuk shuta b'kar melizra. He used to say, if somebody wants to plant hops in a vineyard, it's okay. Ravan chasida mangid elube. Rav Mangel Chasida, though, he was the other way, Rav Amram Chasida. If somebody was planting hops in a vineyard, he would give them makas mardus, that they're violating the rabbinic law. Rav Mesharshia, he had a way in between. He didn't want people to think that you could plant everything in a vineyard. You can't plant wheat in a vineyard for sure. You can't plant the vegetables you want in a vineyard. But he would say, Yoyev Leprutu Letinok Nachmi, you pay a Gentile child. And then he would instruct the Gentile child to plant on his behalf hops in a vineyard. Why doesn't he use a Jewish child? Because then when the Jewish child gets older, he's going to start planting vegetables and vineyards. Why doesn't he hire an adult Gentile? Then he might make a mistake and have a Jew plant on his behalf in a vineyard. Yeah, this is all outside of Israel. All right, now the third question. Mace, what do you do with a dead body on Yom Tov? Shalach Lui said, Mace lo yisaskube. Dead body, don't touch. Lo Yehudayin, don't have Jews do the burial. Lo Amar, no not Jews. Lo Yom Tov Rishon, not on the first day of Yom Tov. Lo Yom Tov Sheni, not on the second day of Yom Tov. Eini, is that really the halacha? Amar Rav Yudah Bar Shilas. Didn't Rav Yudah Bar Shilas say Amar Rav Asi, Nimar Rav Asi? Uv, David Bei Kedisha, the Ma'on, B'Yom Tov HaSamach L'Shabbos. There was a story in the shul of Ma'on. Ma'on is a town south of Hebron. On a Yom Tov that was right next to Shabbos. Well, you're done. I wasn't sure. Now turning to Kuf Lamed Testament Beis. If it was a Yom Tov on a Friday or a Yom Tov on a Shabbos. Also, the comedy of Yochanan came before of Yochanan. So what are we going to do? The dead body's sitting out for 2 hours. For 2 days, I mean, right? There's Yom Tov, there's Shabbos. 48 hours. They didn't have refrigeration. The body's going to decompose. It's Nivel HaMeis. Amalui said to them, all right, Yisashkabu Amim, let the non-Jews bury. Amar Rava, Rava said, Mace, if you have somebody who's dead, and now he's decomposing, Yom Tov Rishon, If it's Yom Tov Rishon, let the non-Jews do it. Yom Tov Sheni, let the Jews do it. And even if that Yom Tov Sheni is Rosh Hashanah, which normally Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah is stricter than a typical Yom Tov Sheni, whereas in regards to an egg born on Rosh Hashanah, we don't say that the Yom Tov Sheni is different than the Yom Tov Rishon. So again, really, the halach is that you wouldn't allow non-Jews to bury on Yom Tov. You allow even Jews to bury on Yom Tov Sheni. But again, the reason why Rav Menashe told the people of Biskar, no, Fisha'enim b'nei Torah, they're not learned in Torah, they're not trying to learn Torah, they cannot appreciate nuance. And if you give them any type of a ruling, before you know it, they're going to be doing it in the wrong way, but things that you never allowed. Now, I heard that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva to the judges of the community in Washington Heights, Breuer's community. They asked if they could follow this Gemara and to have non-Jews do the burial in Yom Tov Rishon and have Jews do the burial in Yom Tov Sheni. Rav Moshe Feinstein said the whole reason for the leniency is because bodies are decomposing. And you see, it's not a full leniency. There were times that they would suspend the leniency. So he said, now that we have refrigeration, Chazal would never have allowed it. And therefore, he said, it's absolutely prohibited to have non-Jews burying on Yom Tov Rishon or Jews on Yom Tov Sheni because we have refrigeration. And that has become the accepted psak amongst Ashkenazic Jews here in America. Hasidim didn't always follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, especially Satmar. The Satmar Rebbe had many disputes with him. Satmar to this day will bury on Yom Tov Sheni with the Jews and on Yom Tov Rishon with non-Jews. Why is it not Yom Tov Sheni? It's a stricter Yom Tov Sheni because even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash outside of Yerushalayim, they had to have 2 days of Yom Tov. But in regards to this halacha, Jews could bury on Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah. Yosef, your great grandmother was buried on Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah. It was before Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote his tshuva in 1971. Amar Rav Avin bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya. Rav Avin bar Rav Huna, the name Rav Chama bar Gurya. Nesatif Adam Bekila. That's how you take the drapes of the bed tent. You want to carry it somewhere? There's no eruv, so you wrap it around like a talus, and then you can walk out without because it's clothing now. Even though on the sides of the drapes there are strings to tie it, they're tassels. It's not considered carrying. So the Gemara says, why is that not carrying? You don't need the strings. The string should be a burden, and it's carrying a burden. Why is it any different from Rav Huna? Rav Huna is Rav. Rav Huna is the name of Rav. Somebody goes out with the talis, and the tzitzis are puzzle. Let's say there are only tzitzis on three corners, not on four corners. Chayiv chatos. He did a biblical sin of carrying from the house to the street. Why? The talis is a garment, but the tzitzis is not a garment, it's a burden. So the Gemara says, tzitzis legabe talis chashiv lobati. Tzitzis, it's very prominent, very prominent. It's not considered part of the garment. Hani, when you have the tassels on the side of a drape, no chashivi, they don't have such prominence. Ubati, they're just part of the drape. So if you wrapped yourself in the drape, so the tassels on it are also part of it, and therefore you're allowed to go out with it. Again, we're listening in the car, Ellie and I. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa talks about somebody who has a suit jacket with all sorts of decorative buttons. It's a button here, it's a button there. Can he walk out with it on Shabbos in a place where there's no Eruv? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, the buttons on a suit jacket are not like the tzitzis. It's not like that's something special on its own. That's just part of the garment. So that's within the category of the drapes with the little tassels in the edges. You can wrap yourself in it and walk out into the street even where there's no eruv. All right, now talking about loopholes. The Mishnah began by talking about putting a cloth over a big barrel and whether that's putting up a tent. So I'm a Rabba Barav Huna, Marim Adam Al Mishmeres B'Yom Tov. The Chacham say, you can't put a cloth on Yom Tov, on the barrel, but if there's a cloth there, you could pour the wine through. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said that a person can find this, you know, loophole. He says, I'm putting the cloth over Litlos Barimonim to put pomegranates on the cloth. And then it's already there. Once it's already there, you can pour the wine through. Tola Bashmar, you can pour the sediments through. I'm Rav Ashi, Vuhuda Tola Barimonim. But if you want to use a loophole, everybody has to know how it was allowed. You have to literally put the pomegranates there. It's not enough just to say, I'm going to put pomegranates and then change your mind and use it for the wine. You have to say, I'm putting the pomegranates there, put the pomegranates there. Then you can use it for the wine too. Asks the Gemara, really, do you have to make such a broadcasting? Why is it any different? We lived in a Braisa. You're allowed to cook beer on Yom, on Chol HaMoed to make beer for the Moed, for the holiday. You're not allowed to cook the beer for after Yom Tov. This is both true about date beer, and barley beer. Even though you have already old beer, you can be a little tricky. You cook the beer and you drink the new beer. So you don't have to publicize it, though, that you can't use the old beer for some reason. I said, listen, so when you're cooking beer, nobody knows you have old beer. Therefore, it's okay. Hachabot over here to put a cloth and then pour wine. Everybody sees you're doing this for the wine. Therefore, you have to show that you're not doing it for the wine. First put the pomegranates and then pour the wine through. So now, he said that the non-Torah scholars, they don't have any nuance. You don't give them rulings that are nuanced. But Torah scholars, they can be very nuanced. They can take advantage of loopholes. Amalei Rabban Rav Ashi, the rabbi said to Rav Ashi, they complained, Chazimar, see the master, I too remember this Torah scholar, Rav Huna Bar Rav Chiyun Shmei. Some say Rav Huna Barav Chila Van Shmei. The Shekel brother Tuma, he takes a clump of garlic, Umarach Bevrazin Dedana, and he puts it into the hole in the barrel. He claims, Amar Latz Nui Kamachav, I just need to put away the garlic. And really, he's fixing the barrel. Another thing he does, Azav Enoy Bimabra, he goes to take a nap in the boat of the non-Jew, which is on the edge of the river. Babalach Kisa. And then he allows the non-Jew to take him to the other side of the river, the Sayer Peri. Then he stands watching his fruits. I wasn't looking to cross the river. I was just looking to take a nap. So they wanted Rav Ashi to beat him up. Rav Ashi said, listen, Harama Kamarti. You're talking about being tricky, loopholes. Harama Bidrabanani, these are only rabbinic prohibitions. You know, it's not really fixing a utensil to put garlic in the middle of a barrel. It's not really... There's no biblical sin in taking a boat ride on Shabbos. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So in rabbinic prohibitions, you found a loophole. It's not really a boat ride. It was a nap. It was a hammock. It wasn't really fixing the barrel. I'm just storing the garlic. He's a Tzumim Rabban. He's a Torah scholar. We're not worried that he's going to now go violate the rabbinic law. He knows the nuance. He knows how to do it in a way that's not prohibited. Ad Khan, Kuf Lametzes, Bezes Hashem will begin tomorrow with the Mishnah.